This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Yeah, hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here, 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Shell Shack in Dallas on Henderson, a great place to come eat and drink. And Crown Royal has some great giveaways for you today. If you'd like to come on by, just ask us for them, and we shall provide. There is Cowboys trade rumors provided today from one Trey Wingo, a proper Texan. He's dialed in not only to the NFL scene, but particularly with the Raiders. He says the Cowboys are talking to the Raiders about a trade for Max Crosby, and we'll be getting more into that coming up in about 20 minutes here in the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening. Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. What we can tell you right now, and these things can move very fast, but right now it seems preliminary. Nothing imminent is a good way to categorize it, but it's very exciting the Cowboys are showing interest.
Yeah, this is, Jerry and others are at the owners' meeting in New York right now, and Jerry even talked about how easy it is to walk up and to talk to personnel guys or, you know, people, the owners. It's an owners meeting, but you have other staff members that are along with you there. So, depending on a Todd Williams or guys like that or whoever's with Jerry could be able to, they could have a conversation with and just kind of lay some groundwork. But from the Cowboys end of it, doesn't sound like it's something that they're making the calls. This we have to check and see if, okay, it's not like it's coming from the Raiders side of things. And maybe the Raiders are floating the trial balloons right now. You know, the coaches, every once in a while coaches will say, you know, we probably need to maybe move on from Max Crosby here. We probably need some more. It'd be nice to have the picks. We're not a very good team, blah, blah, blah. You know, until it's Mark Davis and Spytek and those guys like that from the Raiders front office, then, you know, you kind of just – see, but I think Trey Wingo is very well connected with a lot of things in the NFL. I think he's got a really good connection with the Raiders. So from that end of it, though, they're probably floating some ideas and Trey reporting that.
A lot of options out there, yeah. And we'll continue to talk about all of them as we are joined now by Dalton Wasserman, Pro Football Focus here in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Cowboys. Dalton, good afternoon. Thanks for jumping on with us. How you doing?
Fantastic. Appreciate you having me on.
Man, how much would Max Crosby put the Cowboys in contention from your perspective?
I think they would go from maybe a team that's obviously very one-sided and you may be thinking about as a borderline playoff team to one that you think about a lot more seriously in that context, right? Because they have been lacking so much on defense and they've been so one-sided, and certainly the offense is playoff caliber, especially now with CeeDee Lamb healthy. You can tell that they could score with anybody. That doesn't take a genius to figure that out. When you have Prescott and Lamb and Pickens, and I'll tell you, Javonte Williams, the way he's been running has been so surprising, but the Cowboys need help at a lot of different positions. You had a player like Crosby, a veteran who's been one of the best players in the league for several years. That really starts to change the picture back into, okay, this team at least stands a chance on defense, because they don't need the best defense in the league. They need an average defense that their offense can just overcome and get enough stops on that side.
Compare and contrast Max and Micah Parsons. Who would you rather have type of thing for the rest of this season and playoffs?
I mean, Parsons, I think, is the better player. You're talking about a guy who's arguably the second or third best pass rusher in the league. I would have Myles Garrett as the best defensive player in the league, and Parsons might be second. Crosby, the big thing that he does bring, though, and he's done it throughout his career, is both production as a pass rusher and as a run defender. For multiple years, he's been one of the best run defenders in football, and we know for Dallas that's just as important, right? They're trying to figure out the right pieces in this run defense, obviously getting Kenny Clark back in the Parsons trade, trying to figure out with a lot of young players on the edge, even at linebacker, but Crosby helps you run defense just as much, so it would bring maybe a little bit less than Parsons as a pass rusher, but it would also improve your run defense in the process.
Okay, we have lots of other Cowboys questions for you, but since you brought up Myles Garrett, I was wondering, how did he end up with a better PFF score a couple of weeks ago than T.J. Watt?
So the idea is, when we grade these things, right, obviously there's the surface level stats like sacks and pressures and things like that, but so often when we're grading defensive linemen, it is about how often and how well they execute their assignment, right, how much they win those one-on-one battles, and that goes into underneath things like pass rush win rate, which you don't often see on the surface unless you're really looking for it. So it's not really so much that Garrett at all didn't produce or played a bad game or anything like that. It's that the Browns just did a nice job of trying to work the game plan around him, right? He was still beating their offensive tackles, but they designed plays for Aaron Rodgers to bootleg away from him. They didn't run to Garrett's side so he could dominate on the ball. So while he didn't necessarily make a lot of plays on the football, he was winning a lot of the battles in the trenches and really affecting what the Steelers were able to call, because they really couldn't do anything towards Garrett's side.
Hey, Dalton, has anybody ever told you have the cadence of Mel Kiper when you talk?
Honestly, no. It's if that's the case, it's not intentional. But
no.
I can hear it.
For my whole life, we do the draft around here. But your cadence is very good. It's very Mel Kiper like, and I'm saying that as a compliment.
So. Dalton, can you give us a Todd?
I appreciate that. I mean, I don't really think about, maybe just the plenty of influences and all the broadcasters and analysts I've watched my whole life. Maybe that's the one that gets through there, I suppose.
Well, you got a great set of pipes there, Dalton. So thank you so much for joining us. We love John Owning. He's one of our buddies and part of the PFF family. But, last week, as you know, J.J. Watt and others took quite criticism when it came to the grading. So can you take us behind the scenes? How does this work? Do you have Uber drivers that are walking around grading just off the TV copy and pumping out their grades on the next day? What do we need to know about the behind the scenes of how PFF evaluates?
No, that's a very simplified assessment of what we do, and certainly not entirely accurate. Look, we do, on the first run of these games, we go through the TV copy, but especially for the NFL games, we have our best guys on it, and every single game that we do, NFL, college, even into the CFL now for the Canadian League, it goes through a second review process. When we get the All-22 about 3 hours or so after a game, we get our top guys right on it to fill in any sort of differences that there might be, any sort of discrepancies there might be, because you can't see everything without the All-22, right? And I would say, for the TV copy, yes, we do it the first time around through that, and we train our guys, and I was one of them. I did it for 3 years, the best that we can, to see as much as we possibly can when it comes to run concepts and assignments and, production, obviously, on the ball for certain positions and the way certain coverages work and things like that. You do the best you can with that, but we do get the All-22. Every single game goes through to one of our top 10 to 12 guys, somewhere in there. That's an exclusive group when you talk about the All-22 reviewers. I did it for a little bit on the passing side, reviewing quarterbacks and receivers and DBs and things like that. So it is not just blindly, we're just going to do it from this one run through. It goes through twice, and anything borderline, we basically put any questions into the big kind of council that we have of our top guys and go, okay, what do we all think of this? And there's plenty of plays throughout a game like that where, we've got former coaches on staff and things like that that we can ask a second, third, fourth opinion on, because we make sure we get it right.
So what do we do when we look up Max Crosby's career PFF numbers and we see over the last couple of seasons he dropped from a 90 into the 70s? Is that a clear indication of a decline or some statistical quirks that can happen depending on surroundings? How do you put that kind of stuff in context?
Yeah, I mean, there are some quirks that can happen, and everything's within the context. So it's not just always, oh, this guy's got a slightly lower grade, so obviously he's a worse player, right? Then I think what the grades are, as much as anything, is a guide towards, okay, thinking about why this might be happening. Same on the other one, on the other side, when a player might be breaking out, right? A young guy who's, let's say, take a Jaxon Smith-Njigba for the Seahawks, and now he's exploding, and why is he so great? Okay, we can dig into it. Like Crosby last year, I would say he wasn't healthy. He had, I believe it was an ankle injury that he was trying to play through, and he wasn't all that healthy. And this year, look, there's certain times of context when you go, Max Crosby's really the only notable guy on that Raiders defense. Getting doubled and triple teamed a lot doesn't necessarily get all of the opportunities to dominate a game, so it can be a little bit lower. But even the scale, I think there needs to be some education on that, because even if a guy's grading, say, I don't know, a 77 or 78, wherever he's at right now, that's a really solid football player if you've got that during the season. Is it the 90, the elite grade that we're used to from Crosby? Maybe not, but considering his surroundings and everything like that, that's still solid, and if you were to add it to a better environment, maybe it shoots right back up there.
So what do the advanced metrics indicate about how well Dak Prescott's playing? Like, what would be some of the talking points that you would point to and be like, wow, this is where you can really see that he's leveled up in a big way?
Oh, he's been outstanding. I mean, when you talk about this is really actually the way that he played, especially a lot of the metrics are very similar to what we had in 2023, and I think there's several factors to this. You get George Pickens in there, it opens up the offense vertically. He's been one of the best passers in the league, throwing vertically down the field. He's got a top three or four passing grade. I believe he has the best turnover-worthy play rate of his career, so not only is he creating the explosive plays downfield, he's putting the ball in danger less often than ever, which is a big thing for us. I mean, it just, that gets weighted in as much as the big throws and all the positive stuff you see, is that can you avoid negatives? Because we've found that avoiding those negatives on a week-to-week basis, that really sets a really high floor for what a quarterback is able to do, and then that gets baked into the grades and, say, a Dak Prescott grading around a 90 right now. So it all goes together, but right now he's playing maybe even better than he did 2 years ago when he finished second in the MVP voting. He's squarely in that conversation this year. He's been outstanding.
We love talking about the BTTs, the big-time throws. How does that get measured? What qualifies as a big-time throw?
So, yeah, I mean, this is a part where it can be a bit subjective, but generally what you're talking about is throws that are more vertically down the field, possibly into tight windows, and then having the proper accuracy that comes with that ball, a combination of ball placement and distance, and then just certain times, again, those tight windows and working through coverages. You know, I think about, say, an example is like both of those deep balls in the first half that Prescott hit to George Pickens on the go balls. Like, yeah, you could not throw a ball any better than that. And we got different levels of it, too, because there's not, basically on our grading scale, there's nine different values and the grading scale that you could get on any given play, and a big time throw would be on the top three of that scale. So you're talking about those throws right there. Those are the throws. And I mean, really, when you think about it in the simplest sense, those are like the highlight reel throws. When you go back in at the end of the year and a guy's got 20 big time throws, those are the ones where you go, like, you're like, wow, okay, that's that 30, 40 yard go ball that he nailed. That's that ball down the seam that just beat the safety, perfect ball placement. So really just the highest graded throws on our scale get categorized in there.
Dalton, I was an NFL scout for 13 years, and the thing that I even had problems with when I was in-house doing pro personnel stuff was whose responsibility it was on a play. And I think sometimes when we grade, we don't know where, like, okay, whose responsibility was that? How much do you guys go through? And you said you got coaches on your staff. Do you lean on those guys to kind of figure out if there's some questions about near defender and giving up a play?
Oh, absolutely. Those discussions are had, I'll tell you, in almost every game we review, this something that comes up. Because when you talk about, say, coverages, right, and we break it down to every granular, every guy's assignment, we have processes with that, with reading coverages. And look, if we're not sure of, say, if, you know, if a team is in some sort of trap coverage, or if it's it's like a variation of cover four or four palms or something like that, yeah, we'll throw it out there to the group of our reviewers and go, hey, what do we think of this? And we have experts in coverages. We have experts in offensive line play and the run game, and you know, even in the run game, say with certain fronts and things like that, you know, do we think the tackle should have stayed on the double or advanced to the second level? These are things that, yeah, I mean, Steve Spagnuolo even made comments about this a few weeks ago, talking about this and going, he's like, well, they don't know everything we do. And well, that's true, we're not going to know everything they do. Sure. Unless we're in the coach's office and in the locker room and all that, but absolutely a lot of it gets cross-referenced, and we get 2, 3, and 4 opinions before putting the final grade on that. That's a huge factor that definitely we go through the process on.
Dalton Wasserman, PFF, with us. As good as the Cowboys' offense is, it's crazy to see that the Colts is just as good or better through 7 weeks so far. Are they for real? Is the Colts' offense that good, and are they better than the Cowboys?
Well, better than the Cowboys. I'd love to see them play head-to-head. That would be fun because the Cowboys lean a little more vertical and they're more explosive. But I'll tell you what, that Colts, that offense, that's for real, for sure. Their offensive line has been arguably the best in football this year. There's a reason Jonathan Taylor is leading the league in rushing. And I think that's the big thing with both of those teams is that you have balance, right? Both teams can run the football at a very high level right now. And Daniel Jones is just playing point guard in the right offense for him. For as much as this gets said about the players and Jones and Taylor and the O-line and all of that, Shane Steichen is just calling absolute money games every single week. He's got weapons. The rookie tight end Tyler Warren, I think, has been such a huge factor in their success as a receiver and a blocker. Their offense is for real. As long as Daniel Jones keeps, keeping the ball out of danger, and he hasn't really put the ball in harm's way very much this year outside of the Rams game, he's been outstanding in the entire offense. They just have so much balance, and I think that's the most dangerous part about him.
Dalton, we're pumped about the possibility of a Max Crosby, but linebacker is certainly a weakness right now with this defense, and you do great work with college football. Is this looking like this is a really talented linebacking class in the upcoming draft?
Yeah, there's some good ones, especially if you're looking for a run defender. I think about Anthony Hill from Texas, right down the street from you guys, is going to be a hot name. C.J. Allen from Georgia is an outstanding run defender. He is just excellent. I think nowadays with linebackers that there's so few guys that can do it all, like say a Fred Warner that can both be elite in run defense and coverage. So I think even drafting multiple of those guys might help you. I think another guy maybe in the mid rounds, like an Austin Romaine from Kansas State, great vision, great ability to read an offensive line, and just one of the elite run defenders in college football. So it depends what types of guys you're looking for, but I think this linebacker class is pretty good. I'm seeing some good ones out there.
Dalton, can't thank you enough for your time. Thanks for giving us your perspective and your insights here on this football team in this league, man. Best of luck to you guys at PFF.
Anytime. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Yeah, there he goes. Dalton Wasserman. I guess I should ask him for a scouting report on Arch Manning or something like that.
Yeah, we'd have him back on to talk college football again.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's got it all. He's got it all covered, man. That's a hell of a football guest. So thanks to Woolchuck for booking him. We are live at Shell Shack in Dallas on Henderson, and Crown Royal is with us. They got Crown Royal sunglasses. They got a Crown Royal Cowboys salute to service custom cups with a straw. This thing is beautiful. It looks like a Crown Royal bottle, but it's like a – could you imagine this at a tailgate?
Oh,
maybe
geez,
at a game,
youth
sports
game,
something like that? Okay. Yeah. We got the C-Note coming up next, Cowboys news of the evening, and we have to reset you on what's been a very busy day of Cowboys trade rumoruskies. That's coming up next here, G-Back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nation on the Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we are live at Shell Shack on Henderson in Dallas, and it's time for the C-Note Cowboys News of the evening. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, you know, Krusty's Corner's coming up here in about 20 minutes at 3:40 every day here on your home of the Cowboys. You hear from the former Cowboys scout, the Super Bowl champion, Broadus. Let's jump over here to Clarence Hill's Twitter account. He says, per a source, the Cowboys have not made any contact with the Raiders about Max Crosby. That doesn't mean they haven't had any internal discussions about possible moves or options, but haven't talked to Raiders about Crosby. Per source is the report there from Clarence Hill. And, you know, I think you know, now is an important time to remember that, you know, while we salute insiders and beat reporters and they're there and they're at everything, you know, sometimes you want to control a situation through the media. Sometimes you want to put out, you know, a position through the media because what's likely is in the Cowboys are in some form of negotiation. And the more desperate you seem in negotiation, the more you are food for good negotiators. So I think, you know, maybe there is no interest in Max Crosby, but you can also say maybe the Cowboys are treating this situation like how they treated saying there's no way we're going to trade Micah Parsons, because there is a negotiating advantage to putting out, no, we haven't had any serious conversations. What are you kidding me? They might have called and said, hey, we'll give you one and a player. And the Raiders are like, we want a two. They're like, well, we have nothing more to talk about. You know, and that could have been very preliminary type stuff. But Trey Wingo was the guy this morning saying, according to sources, the Cowboys have made inquiries with the Raiders about a potential trade for Max Crosby. You know, to add to it, our sources are saying that it's preliminary, nothing is imminent, and maybe, you know, this was somebody inside the organization having a conversation with somebody about the Raiders about it, but it definitely has not advanced to an upper-level type discussion.
Our guy Ricky Scoops has gotten in on the mix.
Let's go.
Is that his real account?
I believe so.
I got sent that, too, and then somebody was like, that's not his real account. So I don't know, but if Ricky's getting in on this, he was right about Micah.
Yeah, he's like this weird, not insider guy,
sure.
Just like man of the people insider. And he's been pretty accurate throughout time. He said, sorry, Cowboys fans, I've been told the Raiders won't be trading Max Crosby before the deadline. And then he just deactivated his account once again. He goes ghost. So,
I don't know.
I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
But Ricky has put himself in a position to now be acknowledged.
See, mm-hmm. The thing is, Mark.
Credible reporter.
Yeah.
Mark Davis is talking at the owners' meetings right now, because I saw a tweet about he said he wouldn't fire Pete Carroll, and he trusts all that and everything. So I wonder if anybody's asking him about that, or we're going to get a Crosby, like a denial, like, no, we're not going to trade Max Crosby and that kind of thing. I hope somebody asks that question. But if in an organization, if you get – sometimes you get sources or coaches, sometimes they're front office guys, sometimes it's presidents of the club, whatever sources you have, it depends on who it's coming from. It could be like somebody could be telling Trey Wingo, one of the coaches, like he has a relationship with a Pete Carroll or somebody on that staff, and he's like, hey, Pete, would you consider, and you know, as well, you know, maybe Dallas, maybe they could be trying to also set some stuff up to get a Dallas involved to see if they can drum up some business somewhere else.
Get everybody talking about
it. You know, get everybody talking about it, but can we get more? Can we get more for this? And sometimes these guys say coaches, it kind of like a coach will say, hey, I'm going to tell you this off the record. But, you know, and then all of a sudden you have somebody that goes with it like that. But I'm looking up at the screen right now. Woody Johnson's talking from the Jets.
Woody Johnson has said some wild stuff.
So, yeah, it looks like to me they're kind of but
I wish they'd interview the quarterback under the bus a little bit.
I wish they'd interview Brick.
I know.
Get
Brick's
thoughts.
What are the Madden grades right now, Brick?
A lot of different ways you can look at it. I think with the Raiders, you have a 74-year-old coach.
Yeah.
Max Crosby's 28. You're in go-for-it mode with a 74-year-old head coach, no doubt. But can you see yourself putting enough pieces in place to be good before Max Crosby has aged out? If he's already on the decline, if you believe that, and you're with the Raiders, I think the long-term move has got to be to trade him. At this point, they got to believe they need a new franchise quarterback. That sort of restarts the clock,
sure.
And you're looking at maybe a couple, two, three, 4 years before the player has matured to a point that he can lead you. So there's you know, a lot to be said and done here over the next 2 weeks. We are now just almost 2 weeks to the minute away from the NFL trade deadline. And, of course, the Cowboys have the bye week in between now and then. So there's going to be a lot of interesting conversations here on your home of the Cowboys. Shoddy's presser yesterday, he talked about something we had not discussed, and it's the next story here in the C-Note. But Shoddy said he spent time in the defensive meetings last week and plans to continue to do so. Is that a turning point? You know, is that the reason why you got, what was the number, 46% man? Is that the reason why you got more diversity of your defensive play calling as before?
I think if there's an influence from Shoddy's side of thing, and he used to do the role of the Ben McAdoo, be with the defensive coaches, that kind of role.
An offensive mind helping out the defense.
I think Shoddy is a believer in analytics. I'm not sure how much your defensive coordinator believes in analytics.
Okay.
So you get into a situation where, and we talked about this last Wednesday when we broke down the Commanders, and we started to talk about zone versus man. And you look at the analytics, and clearly this quarterback was not as good against the man coverage stuff as he was against the zone. Maybe Shoddy walks in there and says, Matt, listen, I know you're not big on these numbers, but let me show you something. And now he's got the analytics team with him, and they're talking about, it's really simple. He doesn't throw, and then let's do this. We don't even have to talk about this. Guys, put the tape on. Put the tape on against man coverage, and let's just watch him play against all the man coverage throws this year. And then all of a sudden, now you could see it with your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That like, oh, okay, maybe play. Okay, let's watch the zone coverage stuff and see what happens. And now he's walking in there and telling him, you might not believe in these numbers.
Yeah.
But the film matches the numbers.
Yeah.
And he's taking him that direction.
Yeah.
And he has that prerogative as the head coach. He could click over any time on the headset on the sidelines, go, Matt, what are you calling here?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about going, I'm going zone. And he goes, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that here. Just go man. Trust him. Go play man. He has that prerogative. I think he might have walked into a meeting and said, this is what analytics tell us about this quarterback. And maybe you need to trust that a little more.
I think it's just, you know, for the first time, I'm believing in this coaching staff. I think I said that 3 or 4 weeks ago on this show, that I believe they have the best coaching staff maybe since Jimmy, maybe since Parcells. I don't know how you look at that. But I think it's that communication right there, or
yeah,
that management of a situation where it's one thing to communicate great with your players and keep them informed and inspired and confident. But can you also communicate to your boss, the front office, and can you communicate to your other coaches? Like, I think last year with Chicago, Eberflus's communication with the offensive coordinator was atrocious. And
yeah,
ultimately led to the disaster that
right,
cost them all their jobs. And a lot of times coaches just want, well, I'll let you cook over there.
Yeah.
That's your side of the
yeah
ball. That's, but the best head coaches, they know stuff. They're better at processing data. you know, hopefully than anybody else in the building. That's why they are the head coach. And I think the thing I'd be curious about is Schottenheimer saying, look, you're too predictable. You know, and we need to keep the quarterback at least thinking while he's standing there waiting to snap the ball. Is this zone or man? What defense are they in? Because that's going to cloud his decision-making and his ability to operate on pure instinct. So I say all that to say I think Schottenheimer is going to be the first head coach in a long time to maybe have his own coaching tree because of that kind of all-encompassing knowledge of how to prepare for game plans and give your team an ability to have an advantage and then communicate that and get results instead of resentment. You know, you're talking to a guy who's been maybe a coordinator of the year candidate. He's been a head coach. So how do you, you know, navigate through that? I think it's one of the most difficult things for head coaches because you're dealing with egos and success and millionaires everywhere.
Where Shoddy is going to get points with Matt is the fact that he didn't come out and throw him under the bus when things were going bad.
Yeah.
He, matter of fact, said, I've been Matt Eberflus.
Defended him.
I've been the guy that everybody wanted to fire. I've been the guy that nobody thinks I can coach. I've been where he's at. So to me, that kind of gives Matt and that coaching staff on defense a little cover that, like, oh, okay, hey, we're not, and everybody's not looking at us right now and saying, okay, we're the biggest issue here. So I just think his line of communication at all levels is really serving him well.
Absolutely.
That he's able to, you know, where I didn't think like Jason Garrett or maybe Mike McCarthy were particularly great at that.
Good stuff. We'll finish here the C note live from Shell Shack with a three-parter from our guy Brandon Laurie at Brandon is Right on Cowboys Twitter. NFL touchdown leaders after week 7, Amon-Ra St. Brown with 6, Devontae Adams 6, Pickens and Ferguson with 6. The Cowboys have 2 of the leaders in the top 4. That's awesome. Jake Ferguson is the first tight end in history with 50-plus catches and 6 touchdown catches in his team's first 7 games of a season.
That's crazy.
History there for Jake. He'll join us Thursday at 5:20 here on The Fan all season long. And Shamar James got to Jaden Daniels in 2.28 seconds. That's the third fastest recorded sack of the season per Next Gen Stats.
That's what he does. Just start him put him on a line and let him run. That's what he can do.
He does move quick, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Cover some ground.
With a purpose, too.
Yes, yeah, I mean, no doubt.
Okay, we got Krusty's Corner coming up next from Shell Shack in Dallas. Brian, what's the topic?
It's Tuesday, and I asked my guys some questions. I hope they have some good answers. We'll do that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. We are in the midst of a Shell Shack happy hour. It's 2 to 6 every day. We're at the Dallas location here on Henderson, right down the street from our studio, as a matter of fact, at least for the next month or so. Okay, Shell Shack in Henderson. Yeah, if you hadn't heard, we're moving. We're moving like 635 and
we're
75
moving.
Here
yeah.
sometime next month. So looking forward to that and the new digs and everything. But it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, Brian.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much to my teammates. Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this one, as they always are. Got some questions for you guys on a Tuesday. I'm going to do a breakdown. Matter of fact, I think tomorrow we got probably a Love of the Star going off, right?
Love of the Star.
Yes,
Love of
the Star tomorrow. We're going to get into that. And then,
going off.
And then we've got a, like I say, tomorrow I'll break down the Denver Broncos offense. I don't know if I can get my former teammate, head coach over at the Broncos to call me back today. Or anytime.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's
very busy. It's game week, dude. Yeah, you're the enemy this week.
Yeah, he's
coaches are obsessed.
You're going to be giving out stressed. All of his tips and tricks.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know what he's going to try and do. That would be somewhat helpful. I was helpful to him one day in my life, but I don't know.
He's going to save his best stuff for the fourth quarter.
Do you think he's going to try and trick it up? You think he's going to? He likes to compete against Jerry and Steven. He really does. I mean, he thinks the world of them. But he also likes to
remind them
to beat them,
yeah.
You know, and remind him what kind of coach. You think he could trick this thing up and do some stuff like
Johnson.
Ben Johnson style?
Yeah.
Oh man,
he'll have he'll have Garrett Bowles scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
Their left tackle. I wouldn't be surprised if he does that, but I think just it's more about the simple confusion that he's going to do throughout the course of a game. It's about your screen game. It's about your running game, really.
Right.
But you've got to mess with the linebacker's eyes. I think he's got to know that.
Sean's good at this stuff. But, hey, I think the Joneses have had his number the last couple of times. Then one time he threw out there with Taysom Hill. Tried to win a game with Taysom Hill one time in New Orleans.
That seemed like a tank move, or maybe a freebie for the Cowboys. Because
he was giving Jerry and Steven a thanks for being so great to me, kind of a thing.
He knew they had no shot. Sure, you can play against Taysom Hill today.
Yeah. Well, all right, Dawson. I'll start with you.
And I think they would have won that game if they hadn't tried to pass it so much.
Just run the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Dawson, I'll ask you this question. You can start the festivities with us today. If you were the Broncos defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, who would you be more concerned about, CeeDee Lamb or George Pickens?
Oh, wow. I would probably say George Pickens because of, just the fear of the deep ball on the sideline.
Sure.
I think that's the thing that can really, change the game in a heartbeat. Lamb's probably, the better all-around receiver. He's going to help lead you 7-8 play drives. But I guess Lamb had the big play as well, but he had to make guys miss a little bit more, and that was maybe a breakdown on the defense more. I just think, we got to like our chances of slowing this offense down a little bit with their defense. But if they can block it up, George Pickens is the guy that can score anyway.
How about you there, Wooly? You're Vance Joseph. Who do you think he's more concerned about, CeeDee Lamb or George Pickens?
Yeah, I think it's Lamb just because of how much they move him around. Like when Lamb is playing, they, at least last week, they still didn't move Pickens as much as they had previously. So Lamb's still that guy that they're going to move in pre-snap motion, kick him into the slot, have him switch sides a little bit. So I think the movement that CeeDee Lamb to try and possibly get him on plus matchups, that's still, you got to account for where he's going to be. Whereas George Pickens, if Lamb's on the field, most of the time he's going to kind of be in the same spot.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Yeah, I mean, it's close, but I lean Walchuk here for all the reasons he mentioned. The CeeDee Lamb versatility and how he can beat you in a multitude of different ways. And George Pickens is an absolute monster. Both of them are going to cause headaches. I'm excited to see how Vance Joseph approaches this. Yeah. Do you put Surtain traveling with one of these guys and then double the other one? But Lamb just not knowing where he's going to be on any particular play, I think that is the... That's the advantage.
If I tell you that Riley Moss, the corner opposite Patrick Surtain,
horrible,
gets picked on a lot.
Yeah, he's not, and he has not been good.
And they don't give up many deep ball passes, but every one of them has been over Riley Moss.
I don't doubt it. I
mean, is that a green light for Pickens going that way, you know, or is that a Lamb going that way?
I would actually play this with PS2 on Pickens, and I like this skill set that Jahdae Barron has to move with CeeDee Lamb. I don't know if they would do that, but Riley Moss is the mark. Typically, when you have a wide starting corner, that dude is going to be the mark anyway. Let's be honest, there's not been a lot in the NFL, and we're keeping tabs of him. I mean, he's been struggling.
Got
this
one in
year.
Philadelphia, right?
Got one at Cooper DeJean,
yep.
Who they've kind of been playing at safety.
Yep.
Moved him a little bit there. But, yeah, I think that you do not want Riley Moss really on either of these guys. You feel better if he's matching up with Jalen Tolbert or Jonathan Mingo this week.
We got to get you a new console, though. PS2? You're simulating this thing on a PS2?
What about PS2?
That's what you just said.
Patrick Surtain the second.
You're playing this thing on PS2. Patrick Surtain.
That's his nickname.
Oh, I see. Yeah, Junior. Hey, shout out to the PS2, though.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 on PS2.
Yeah.
All day.
Ball knower.
One of the greatest consoles ever.
Well, Chuck, was this a turn-the-corner game for Javion Clowney?
I would like to hope so. So I'll say yes, because he played fantastic. It was certainly his best game with the Cowboys. And he graded out courtesy of PFF. I'll agree with him. I thought he might have been their best defensive player on the field. I mean, he was awesome. Every snap that he had, I thought he was doing something productive. So, yes, I think maybe this is Jadeveon Clowney kind of he's there. He's back now when it comes to missing training camp, missing all offseason. He's back in football shape. And maybe we're going to see the best of him.
Yeah, I think that's partially it, that he needed essentially his own little training camp and ramp-up period over 30. Maybe he didn't realize, you know, how different it's going to be. But I also think, speaking of the age and how he's moving around, he's kind of in that old man phase where about half the time you feel like a younger guy and half the time you feel like an older guy. So I think it's going to be hit or miss with Clowney rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that we will start to see a much better version of himself. I don't know if we'll see that level of dominance moving forward like we saw on Sunday, but we should start to see the guy that we anticipated, which is one of your better edge players, for sure. And I don't think you can discount how difficult it is to get up off the couch and just get thrown into the line of fire.
You think the last couple weeks has been just rusty games?
I do.
There's still ability there?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And yeah. We all have to remember that he is not a dominant force, but he is a solid player. And given the group that you have at the edge right now, he should be your best one or one of your top two.
Yeah, more of him with Houston as Araku, and just get Sam Williams off the field entirely. Let's just be done with it. You know.
Speaking of a player, Chief, what do you think of Shamar James as a player?
I mean, the athleticism is there, the speed, the burst. I mean, there was a handful of plays. The sack on Jaden Daniels is one of them. There were a couple other ones where he's closing in on the quarterback before the ball gets there. But the way he moves is super impressive. You guys talked about it when he was a draft pick.
Yeah.
The instincts aren't quite there. The touchdown to Ertz, he's just kind of lost in no man's landing coverage.
Right.
And so you have to use him appropriately. But, again, given the room of linebackers that you have, he's a guy that I think you want to invest snaps in.
Shamar James is an original Top Gun type of weapon in the era of the heat-seeking missile.
Mm.
now here, post Desert Storm 1, we've developed these laser-guided missiles.
Sure.
And he's not laser-guided, just heat-seeking. And you saw Maverick and stuff. He can shake those, you know.
How about you there, Wooly?
It's about kind of what we saw on tape in Florida, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's a player that is really good when it comes to downhill. If it's in front of him, he'll make the tackle. He can tackle in open space, good blitzer, but I will hold my breath if he's asked to do too much in coverage. I don't think that's really where he's super comfortable.
I think this is where if you talk about Schottenheimer walking in and saying something, and maybe thinking like, hey, guys, throw the personnel board open. Let's talk about this. And individually go through the players and like, are you using this guy the right way? Are you using this guy? How are you using this guy? You know, and that's where I would ask about James. And I think that, again, the clip that I would play is, how about when you sent him on that blitz there, Flews, and what happened? That he was able to knock the ball loose. He was able to make the sack. He was able to make their quarterback got dinged up, got knocked out of the game. You know, where is more of that? You know, and then the argument on the other side of it is I would go, let's not put him in coverage too much because we're kind of struggling a little bit with that. That element of the game. But I think you get him and Overshown together the way they both can run, this group will be much better than that. All right, Wooly, for you.
What up?
In the last minute or so I have, how disappointed would you be if this team doesn't make a trade?
I'll be bummed because I think you are missing an opportunity of what is one of the best Cowboy defenses that I've been able to see.
Offense.
Offenses, yes. And not, yes, offense. Offense, one of the worst defenses.
Cold medicine's kicking back in.
I just took it a little bit more.
I love it.
Without the small cup?
No, I just chugged it.
That's what I'm saying.
I just chugged it, so I have no idea how much I took. This could get crazy. But, yeah, offensively, they owe it to Dak. You're in year 10 of Dak. And right now, you don't know how large that window is. Capitalize now. And if Jerry wants to talk about, my gosh, one of my biggest regrets is Tony Romo and not getting him a Super Bowl, you're about to let history repeat itself with Dak Prescott if you're not more aggressive at this trade deadline.
Gutted. I've been talking about it forever, and I feel like the Joneses feel more urgency than at any point in the last decade as far as going for it. If you don't go for it now, I don't think you're going to get another great opportunity like this for the rest of Dak's career.
Mm. Yeah, this offense and this coaching staff, this is a win now situation. So, and you have plenty of assets, you have the cap space. It'd be inexcusable not to go out there and probably more than just one. Like, this defense needs more than one. You should go out there and make a couple of trades, and it doesn't have to be a sell the farm situation, but go out there and upgrade this defense. Give yourself a chance in a league that is wide open right now.
Just real quick, if this trade were to cost you George Pickens because you made a major deal, would you reconsider?
Yes, I would, because I think part of the reason why I want to be so aggressive is Pickens is making this offense awesome.
All I know is he's here now, and now is what I'm caring about.
Got you. Dawson?
Yeah, this is the time to go for it. I would not care. You know, I think George Pickens making a tiny bit of money gives you the opportunity to throw another $30 or $40 million on top of this thing.
There you go.
And drive a damn 18-wheeler through your championship window before it closes.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Brought us Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We are live at Shell Shack on Henderson in Dallas. $3 Crown Royal during all games.
Come get it.
Yeah, $3 10-ounce Miller Lite drafts during all games. And the happy hour at Shell Shack is going on right now if you're looking for something delicious to eat. Wolchuk, football fix time.
Improbable wins, fantasy apologies, and a draft order update. That's next.
Woo-hoo! This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.